Live Line on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry, bringing you great savings on curtains and bedding. Available all year in store and online at harrycurry.com.
0818 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Live Line. Okay, we've a number of people on about canvassers and the election, so the election special starts now. Alice, good afternoon.
Hello.
What happened, Alice?
Well, it was just last week.
Yes.
At 8 o'clock at night, it was very dark, and I live in a very rural area where there's no street lighting.
Okay.
So it was about 8 o'clock at night. There's a tap on my window. They didn't ring the doorbell.
Oh, wow.
And I thought, oh, it's a neighbour who would normally do that. And I just went, I saw two figures in the shadows outside. And I opened the door automatically, which is what I'd normally do.
Of course.
And there were two guys there saying, oh, we're canvassing. I didn't even hear what party they were canvassing for. But I said, this is too late at night time to be calling. And I closed the door. And afterwards I thought, you know, that's not right. I won't say I sort of live alone, but I'm in a very rural area. And
Alice,
I shouldn't have opened the door.
Okay, 51551 is a text number. Alice, as far as you know, were they actual canvassers? Were they
Had hive jackets. They said they were canvassers.
Did you see any leaflets, or did they say, will you take a leaflet anyway?
I didn't give them time to show me anything.
Oh, did you not know?
I just closed the door and said it's too late.
Do you think they might have been chancers?
I don't know. I'm sorry, I don't know. This is why I decided I'd ring.
Yeah, to try and either warm you. Again, what time was it, Alice, insofar? Almost
8 o'clock.
Okay.
But it's pitch dark outside. I don't know. I have no lights. I have a sense of light.
I can understand. I just wonder, we can find out from canvassers. I know they're all out canvassing. Do they have do they all agree on a time, especially during winter, and now that the weather is getting bad, do they all agree on a time to finish canvassing at? I thought it was around Coronation Street, EastEnders, Fair City, around that time, that you don't knock on the door during any of those programmes. Anyway, okay. But they didn't.
In fact, I was going to watch Coronation Street at 8 o'clock. Am I on air?
Yeah, of course.
I am. I was on a walker.
Okay.
So I've got to the door with a walker. But it would be an opportunity for other people to call, make it an opportunity to get into the house.
Yeah, you're right, chancers. So let's stay with us. I hope you have a dog, have you?
I have.
Brilliant.
I have.
Brilliant.
Well, I'm just going to let her out now.
I know. What's her name?
I'd rather not say. Joe.
For tax reasons. Okay. Alice, you don't know. Hold on.
That's my postman. Sorry. Thank you. Everybody
brilliant.
Calls.
Thank you, Mr. Postman or Postwoman.
Thank you.
Well, brilliant service. A brilliant service. And Alice, it's so brilliant to have a dog. You know that.
It is indeed. Yeah. Although she wouldn't. They boo to a goose.
No, but I've said this before. When I worked in a previous life in the probation service with youngfellas who were getting into trouble, primarily youngfellas, getting into trouble for doing stupid things like breaking into houses, the only thing, Alice, that they ever ran away from wasn't phone alarms or any type of alarms. They didn't give two hoots or barbed wire. The only thing they ever ran away from was was a barking dog. They don't know what size your little dog is. They don't know they don't know your little dog is the cutest little thing that ever walked on God's earth. All they can hear is the bark, and they run. Stay there, Alice. Sharon, canvassers, what happened in your case? Joe at rt.ie 51551. Have you been canvassed? Sharon.
Yes.
What happened? What happened?
I just felt very insulted by something that was said to me. I actually pulled up in front of my house.
Right.
And a group of them were leaving my estate.
Okay.
And they were kind of across the road from me. And, I feel so strongly about housing. I just called across.
Yeah, a lot of people do,
I just called. I called across. I said something like, guys, we need housing, you know.
Mm.
And two of them kind of made their way to come across to me and talk to me. And I just politely put up my hands. I said, you know, I just wasn't interested. I just wasn't in the mood.
Okay, yeah, I understand.
And I don't think, obviously, I am not the first person to tell them that we need housing. So they don't, you know, yeah, they've heard it a million times, I'm sure. So I just said, guys, again, I just said housing, that's fine. And so I walked up my driveway, and as I was getting in my front door, I overheard one of them say, not the candidate himself, but one of his people say, she's talking about housing and she's going into her house. Yeah. And I just thought, like, I was...
Was that the tone, Sharon? Yes, it was, as you intonate there. She's talking about housing and she's going into her own house?
As if, like, it's such a non sequitur. I didn't even know, like, what he meant by it, like... As if, and I was really upset because I thought, just because I am very, very fortunate that I own my house that I'm paying a huge mortgage on. But as if that would make it, you know, so as if that would mean that I don't care about anybody else who's homeless.
Of course.
Can't pay their bill, you know, it was just so strange.
Sure, it's
so,
our basic humanity, the gift of humanity, it's called compassion. I mean, able to understand. And feel for other people's travails.
Yeah. And I just thought, and I wouldn't want to put it on the candidate because it wasn't the candidate that said it, but I can't help but make a link to, if this is how this person who feels strongly enough about this election, that he's going door to door to ask people's opinions on this. And this is the attitude he has toward housing. I just thought to myself.
Well, maybe he had I don't envy canvassers.
No.
You know, and neither do you, of course. I don't envy them in this weather and the weather that's forecast apparently for the next few days. I don't envy them in the atmosphere that is around in the new world we live in, where people are not afraid to say anything to each other invariably or about each other on social media, and that's seeped into the public discourse. Have you been canvassed by anyone else, Sharon? Don't tell me the names of the parties, but have you been canvassed much, as the fella says?
Well, yeah, I mean, we live in a suburban, so we get a lot of them.
Okay.
I just thought it was, it was kind of the opposite of people, you know, the poor canvassers who are getting attacked. I just thought my intelligence was attacked.
Sharon, did you watch the TV debate last night with Katie?
No, I'm afraid I did not.
Well, nearly half the population did. Half the viewing population did, apparently. Alice, did you watch the TV debate?
Oh, I did. Yes. Yeah.
Just tell me, did you? Don't name any politician. But did you learn much?
No, not a lot. Everybody's saying the same thing.
Did you change your mind on anything?
No, I haven't even made up.
I'll go for the bottom line here of the great Reithian philosophy. Were you entertained?
Yes,
okay.
I was.
Oh, well, damn. Yeah. We got 1 hour 3, ain't bad. Educate. The founder of the BBC said, Lord Reith, educate, inform, and entertain. Well, we got entertainment. 1 hour 3.
But entertainment. Yes,
Alan O'Reilly, did you watch the TV debate?
I did, Joe. I did.
Did you learn anything?
Not a lot, Joe. Not a lot.
Did you feel informed?
There was a little bit of here and there, a little bit of policy change, but not a lot.
Did you enjoy it?
I've had
people.
Two worse hours of my life. Do you know?
Okay. Now this is Alan O'Reilly. The ubiquitous Alan O'Reilly. I regret discovering you 25 years ago. I really do. Because one, I don't know how you do a day job, even though I know you do a day job. You do a brilliant day job, but you are Ireland's weather expert. You're not getting paid a penny for it, I suspect. Alan, will you give the canvassing forecast until Saturday as far as you go? As far as you can.
I'm on my lunch break from Black Knight and I'm sitting on the hills of Carlow.
This is a hobby. Is there?
There's snow falling now. It's kind of a mix of sleet and snow, but I'm getting photos from a few places in the Dublin Hills, Glencullen, and Wicklow Hills. There's a bit of snow falling, so it's going to freeze tonight, Joe. Whether regardless of whether it's rain, sleet, or snow, or it's sticking or not, the problem is it's going to turn very icy and very frosty.
Where, Alan? Insofar as
right across the country, Joe.
Oh, is there? Okay.
cold, frosty night once it gets after dark. Temperatures are going to drop and it's going to be a very icy Wednesday morning. So it'll be slippy conditions for those canvassers out there.
Okay.
Then there's an interesting weather set up tomorrow night. There's a risk of some snow coming into the southwest and other parts of the south. So we could see some more snow. And then that'll clear away a very cold, like you're not going to feel above 1 or 2 degrees by day up until Friday. Thursday's another bitterly cold day, another cold night, and Friday is bitterly cold. And then Friday night and Saturday, it looks like that cold's going to get blown away, and those posters that are on every pole in the country are going to get tested with a good wind. There's a bit of a storm coming, Joe.
And how does this give us your November comparison, Alan, over the last few years? You're always brilliant at that. November so far surely is warm until today.
It's been exceptionally mild at night as well as during day, because we had that blanket of cloud sitting on top of us, and it works like a blanket at night time. It keeps the temperatures well above normal, but it's also been exceptionally dry. It's been very dry. So it's been perfect canvassing weather because it's been calm, it's been dry, and it's been mild. But it's a big change now. They're going to have to get the long johns on for the next couple of days canvassing. And it is going to be much, much colder than normal. So we're going from above average temperatures to below average temperatures. And there was a lot of rain yesterday. It wasn't a nice day yesterday for many parts of the country. And it's been a wet start as well this morning. And as I say, some sleet and some snow around. But it's really going to be slippy. So it's going to be it'll be interesting to see if the canvassers keep moving when it gets slippy, or will they be afraid to walk into maybe a house and stay where there's footpaths slippy and might get asked a question about where's the grit and where's the salt?
Yeah, it's okay, be on standby. And I'm conscious of all those posters if they're blown away and, well, the damage they do, or hit pedestrians, hit fellow TDs, which happened before, or hit motorists or indeed cyclists and our scooter people. Alan, stay with us for a sec if you can. I want to ask you another question. Where's Margaret? Margaret?
Yes, Joe. Yeah, I'm here.
You're a canvasser.
I am canvassing, yeah. I'm canvassing every day.
Okay. And what time do you finish at? What is the deal?
We finish at 7:30.
Okay.
7:30 is the latest we knock on a door.
Okay.
Because it's very dark and people do get a bit worried. And we also have to look after ourselves. We canvass at night in pairs.
Yeah.
We don't go singly to doors at night.
And you enjoy
it? Just in case somebody falls or...
Yeah,
oh, I love it. Yeah,
You love it. Why?
I absolutely love it. Well, I love meeting nice people. I'm canvassing with a really excellent woman candidate, and I really want to see her elected.
Okay.
And I just enjoy interacting with people and trying to persuade them to vote the way I'd like them to vote.
Okay. And are you getting better or worse than a worse reception than you thought? Probably.
I thought we would get a good reception, but we're getting a much better reception.
Okay.
Yeah. It's one of the nicest elections I've ever canvassed in.
Isn't that
and
great?
I've been doing this since 1978.
Oh, well done. Well done, Margaret. And, Mark, what time do you start at during the day?
Well, we start about 10-ish in the morning, until 12:30, take a break for lunch, do a bit in the afternoon. Now, I don't necessarily do every single stint.
Well,
and then we start at 5:30 until 7:30.
Well done. Well, that's great.
Now, it's worse for the candidate because she's starting maybe in the fruit market in the morning, meeting some people, then meeting us at 10 o'clock. She might be going to a local play or something in the evening. So there, the candidates are doing a full day.
And you know, Margaret, do you mind? Well, you know, when you stop for your lunch or a cup of tea, is that your own money?
Well, we have to try and stop our candidate paying for us, but we try to pay. She wants to pay, but we don't want her to.
Okay.
Now we do like occasionally to be bought a cup of coffee.
I know.
Or an Irish coffee.
Does anyone, when you knock on a door, which happened to me last night actually, and it was teeming rain. It wasn't a canvasser. It was a delivery man.
Okay.
And it was 7:30 o'clock and he stood at the door like a drowned rat. And I said to him, first of all, stand in the hall. He said to me, do you want me to take off my shoes? I said, I have three children. I grew up in this house. I said, do you want to use the bathroom? And believe it or not, he said yes.
Yeah.
And then I gave him a cup of tea and club milk and off he went.
And he told me he's going to be working till he was on since 10:30 yesterday morning, and he'd be on till Have you ever been asked in and said, do you want to use the bathroom? Do you want a cup of tea? Do you want to?
I have.
Great.
We generally don't, because you lose the rest of the canvassers then. You know, even if you go in to go to the loo, they might have turned the corner on a road and, you know.
And when
I have got lost once or twice.
Okay, and then do people say, can I talk to the candidate?
Oh, yes. Yeah, I mean, you know, you say you're canvassing with a candidate, so sometimes they want.
Okay.
We offer as well. We say, would you like to talk to them?
You offer the candidate up.
We do. We just keep talking, Joe, trying to hope the candidate catches up on us.
And Margaret, have you any other little rules? Like, if there's no lights on, do you knock? If there's
we would knock if there were no lights on, but we only ring the doorbell once.
Mm-hmm.
We close the gates if the gates were closed when we got there. You know, things like that.
Okay.
And an interesting thing for this year now, in the local elections as well, is a lot of people have ring doorbells or other type doorbells.
With a camera.
With cameras, and they have to record you, so you have to be very careful what you say on the doorstep.
And you ever get people?
No, you can.
But can't they talk to you through their doorbell now?
They can, but they can also hear your conversation.
Oh, good
so
luck.
You don't want to be saying, aren't they horrible flowers there? Yeah. Or, you know what I mean?
You think they'd cut the grass.
Exactly. I'll tell you what we used to think when people had milk bottles. That the houses that put out the dirty milk bottles that hadn't been rinsed out, they belonged to another party that we didn't belong to.
Okay.
We used to say, oh, that's a such and such house. Definitely.
So
they don't rinse their milk bottles.
That's belonged to the whitewash party, whoever they are.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Now, Margaret, final question. Over the years, since 1978, when you began, given the world we live in now, and also more people being, are you finding more people at home during the day?
Oh, yeah. A lot of people are working from home
Okay.
now.
So that's
And they tend just to run out to the door and say, sorry, I'm working. You know, but there are an awful lot more people at home.
But you know, people working at home, every opportunity to get up from that desk, they take.
They stretch their legs.
Yeah.
But honestly, Joe, this is really pleasant. And if people are canvassed on behalf of somebody or by a party and they don't like what's said to them or the manor or whatever, they should get on to the party headquarters and tell them.
Yeah, okay. Now, Margaret, final question again.
Yeah.
Since 70, have you noticed, are there more door-to-door canvassers or apartment-to-apartment canvassers than before?
Not really. I haven't seen as many this year as other times. But then...
And then the other thing is, well, we have more and more apartments. How do you canvass apartments?
You can't really. If you can access the letterboxes, you just put some literature into them. But it's difficult. And some of them are gated as well.
Yeah, that's a pity, isn't it? I know.
I'll tell you the most interesting thing I have found this year is so many people who were not on the register.
Wow.
Who thought that they couldn't vote.
But they can.
Because maybe they were only living here a few years, but they can.
Of course they can, yeah.
Yeah. So we would explain to them how to get themselves on the register.
And you can check. I want to Commission Telecon, and you can look up there, or your local authority.
It's too late to register for this election now. Registration for voting now has closed. But if you want to get your name on the register, you just go to checkmyregister.ie.
Well done. Okay, Margaret. Margaret, what about Alan O'Reilly of Carlow Weather? What about his prediction?
I know. I've braved the rain. I'll probably brave the ice. I'm not sure about the storm.
Okay.
I'll tell you, I love doing it, and I wouldn't change it for a minute.
Well, final question, but no names, no pack drill. Did you enjoy did you watch the debate last night?
I did, of course.
Apparently 43% of the
second.
Television.
Yeah.
And were you educated?
I think I more or less knew what everybody was going to say and how they would say
it. Did you learn anything new?
I thought it was entertaining to a point, but I think only anoraks like me would have watched it from start to finish.
Oh, I think more than that. There's a lot of anoraks. A lot of anoraks. Well,
And I have to say, I think Katie Hannah did a great job.
Here. What a job. 10 people.
Yeah.
10 people. Referee.
Keep them all in order.
10 people. What did Pat Leahy say in the Irish Times this morning? The winner of the 10-part debate last night on RTE was the person I was voting for in the first place.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Good. And the same for me.
Margaret, safe travels.
Thank you.
Okay, you're very good. Good, Margaret. Slán. That's Margaret, a canvasser. What a brilliant contribution to our democracy, a volunteer canvasser. Long may they continue. Joe at rt.ie, 51551 text.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
We're talking about canvassers and canvassing. We're anxious to hear from anyone. We've heard a few already from canvassers and people who've been canvassed. Rosemary, you were canvassed.
I was. A canvasser came to my door at about 8:15.
Okay.
And I mentioned that I thought it was a bit late to be canvassing.
Okay.
I don't like answering the door at that time of the night.
Yeah, dark, especially this time of year.
Dark, yeah. And he said that actually they sort of had a consensus that round about 8:15 was the latest that anybody should be canvassing.
Okay. So did you say anything? You said it to them.
Very little. Okay. I took the literature. And I said, well, look, best of luck, but I don't really want to stand on my doorstep talking to somebody at this time of the night. And so I recognised it was the candidate himself, so I recognised him.
It takes great courage to stand in an election, it really does. Regardless of who you stand for, yeah.
Oh, absolutely. So I took his literature and wished him luck, but I thought it was a bit too late to be calling on people.
Well, you heard the consensus earlier on from our canvasser was 7:30 was the kind of the agreed cut-off time, this in November. And you heard from Alan O'Reilly, the weather's going to get significantly, compared to what it was in the first few weeks of November of the campaign, it's going to get significantly worse.
Well, presumably the time gets earlier as the month goes on and as the weather gets worse.
Yeah. And Rosemary, did you read their literature?
Not yet. I have a little pile on the kitchen table of all of them.
Keep them. They're a good record anyway. Did you watch the TV debate?
I taped it. I haven't watched it yet.
Okay. Well, you have a treat in store.
I have. I caught a few minutes of the end and
I sort of thought there were
too many voices going on at the same time.
Yeah, what did Miriam Lord call it? In the middle of it, Met Aaron issued, I haven't got it in front of me, a big yell each other down warning.
I didn't hear that.
Something like that, yeah. Okay, Rosemary, thanks indeed. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Joe.
Maria King is in Rathfarnham. Maria.
Hiya, Joe.
What, you have canvassed in the past. What is the deal?
I have done a bit, not recently, but to be honest, I was just sitting at my desk when your show started and I was listening to the lady who said she was canvassed there in the dark. And I suppose it just struck me really to text in because knocking on the window of somebody's house at that time of night is totally unacceptable.
Yeah.
And I suppose I was kind of wondering, what time do people think that the canvasser should finish? But it's already been now set
seven. Well, what do you think?
Well, I think seven-ish. I wouldn't be going past 7:30 and I would not be knocking at windows. I would ring the door, and I'd also make sure that we were wearing high-vis jackets and identification, maybe around your
high-vis.
Something. Yeah. And obviously people would be carrying leaflets and, you know, sometimes there's a few of them, there's more than one. But the other thing I would say that if they do ring the doorbell at an appropriate time, that they might give people time to get to the door.
That's true, yes.
You know, if it's an older person or somebody's upstairs, I think sometimes they're gone before they get down.
And remember Alice earlier who pointed out with the dog, the lovely dog, but she pointed out that she's on a walking frame.
But there you go.
It takes her a while to get to the door. So
absolutely. And then when she gets there, possibly there's nobody there, which is even more frustrating.
And Maria, did you enjoy your time canvassing?
I did. Yes, I did. Generally speaking, people were very friendly, regardless whether they were my party or not. I think it depends how you approach them. But I have to say, anyone so far in this election that has approached me, they've all been very mannerly and calling at proper times and ringing the doorbell. Now, having said that, they weren't always there when I got out to the door, but I could see them heading as sprightly as they could up the road. But I suppose they do have to move on as well, you know?
Yeah, of course. But I think anyone who stands, regardless of their politics, and the people can decide that, what way they want to go on Friday week. But anyone
Absolutely. Who actually puts their name forward. Yeah, and I do think, Joe, that for the people that maybe haven't made up their mind, that person on the door can, you know, give quite a good influence as well. It's very personal.
Yeah, yeah.
But generally speaking, people are very mannerly. Yeah. It's really the knocking on the window and just making sure.
Yeah, that was odd, wasn't it?
You know, I think it was actually very bad form. Yeah. I've never heard of that happening, and I think it's very wrong, and I think it's quite frightening. So I suppose that's what made me really get on, and just for people to be aware of that. I haven't heard it happening before.
And did I ask you, did you watch the TV debate?
I did watch it from beginning to end.
Educate, inform or entertain, which are all three?
I didn't learn anything new, to be honest. I think because I've been pretty much following the parties anyway.
Okay.
But it was interesting.
Yeah. Okay.
But no, I didn't really learn a lot from it. Probably because I'd been, you know, following quite a bit.
Yeah, but they all stood there for 2.5 hours.
Well, they did.
Maybe they had a tidy break. Yeah, it was fair play to them. Fair play. Okay, Maria, good evening, Margaret. Maria's in Rathfarnham. Where's Harry? Harry, good afternoon. Here's Harry in Tala. How are you, Harry?
How's it going?
Good. Tell us.
I explained to your colleague that junk mail, leaflets, literature.
Yeah.
I have a sign on my door saying no junk mail.
Wow.
And they still insist on putting their literature in the door. Now, I'm not talking about any particular party.
Yeah.
I'm talking about in general.
Yeah, I know.
I don't want their junk mail.
Why?
Because that's all it is, junk mail.
Well,
let me
go another way, Harry. Had you got the no junk mail sign up before the election?
I had it up a long time now.
Okay, and what do you not want in your door? Do you not love
literature?
Yeah, do you not love getting leaflets about the new Chinese takeaway?
No, I don't. The people that go canvassing for Chinese restaurants or any other restaurant.
Yeah.
I just see them walking into the garden and they go next door, but they won't come into my garden.
Because you have a sign up.
Because I have a sign up.
So you're missing out.
I'm not missing out.
You don't know what's... all these bits of news and the printers, the local printers are printing these leaflets for the new cleaners in the area or the local estate agents or the new Chinese. Do you not love... Harry, could be the best chicken balls in Ireland you're missing.
It could be the best chicken balls in Ireland, but I live with that, you know?
You know what I think of? I think the printers, the little printers all around the country do a great job. Anyway, I'm not persuaded. Was there a leaflet that broke the camel's back? Did you buy the no junk mail sign?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, good.
Where do you think you got it?
I don't. You could have made it with your no leaflet.
No, Joe, come on. I better things to be doing my time making Joe. No junk mail signs.
Okay. And do people generally observe your no junk mail sign?
Yes. Generally, they do.
Okay. My question is, when you didn't have a junk mail sign and you did decide to go out and buy a junk mail sign, what prompted you to do it? Were you just fed up with... was there an election or was there just an avalanche of leaflets and you slipped on one?
I can't remember what made me go out and buy it. I just bought it and put it on my door.
Okay. Okay. And generally, canvassers, do they obey it?
No, they stick it in the door. It doesn't seem to make any difference to them. They think they can do what they like, as far as I'm concerned. Okay. I mean, they knocked on a woman's door last night at a late hour.
Okay, that's what we were talking about earlier, yeah.
Yeah, but that's
and Harry, do you not think, like, did you hear the postman there arriving at Alice's house 20 minutes ago? 2 o'clock.
Oh, I missed that part. I missed
that part. The highlight of the programme so far.
Yeah.
Harry, well, come here. Yeah. No, but I'm thinking, you know what I'm thinking? And I wasn't thinking of that postman, postwoman, they knock at houses on a regular basis. There, if God forbid that never happened to you, I don't know if you have people in the house with you or whatever, but if God forbid, Harry, that never happened to you, and you had a little, you fell into a weakness in the hall, and you were on the floor, one of those chicken ball junk mail fellas might have seen you through the letterbox. I might have heard you shout and could have dialed 999.
That would joke. Come on.
Okay. I've lost that battle. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, right. I'll skulk off into the vinyl fault and lick my wounds.
Yeah.
Okay, you've won the point.
Have another chicken boy while you're waiting.
Good luck.
Good luck.
Good luck. Where's Sarah? Sarah.
Hi, how are you?
Do you go down on bended knee? You love canvassers.
I'd love to see a canvasser at my door.
Why?
I'm here now and I haven't had any.
Ah, no.
Yeah.
So, and you're dying to see one?
I'd love to see them because actually I would welcome them and I would bring them in for a cup of tea and a chat.
No, don't. And what would you say? No, it's to look after them, you bring them in now.
Yeah, I think they're brave enough. If they're brave enough to go and put themselves forward, then, you know, we should give them their fair hearing. And I wouldn't mind if they called, you know. And I wouldn't mind if they called any time of the evening, as long as I wasn't in bed, obviously, but it wouldn't bother me.
Okay. And so you've had, in previous elections, have you had canvassers?
No, I suppose we live off the beaten track. We don't live out in the middle of nowhere now by any means. But I suppose they kind of stick to the urban areas. So we'd be a bit rural away. Maybe our nearest village is about 2.5 kilometres away.
I just wonder, is there an app, Sarah, or a helpline that you could ring and say, please canvass me?
I'd love to.
Yes, I want to be canvassed, so to speak.
Yes, it would be great, wouldn't it?
Yes, it'd be a good idea. Have you a junk mail sign on your letterbox?
I do not, no. I love post. I love everything.
So
I would give tea or coffee to anyone that calls. You know, I give everyone the time of day.
Especially in this weather.
So, yeah, absolutely.
But I feel for, I know that postmen are well used to their round and women, but I feel for all these Amazon drivers. Good God.
I know, that's a tough one.
Oh, God. And I wish Amazon, by the way, would paint their trucks a different colour. You can't see them in this weather. They're so dangerous. Would you put a Battenberg stripe on the back, like guard cars and fire engines and public vehicles? You stopped everywhere just for wrong. But I really feel for those drivers and DHL and Fastway, all the great companies. Now, Sarah, final question. Did you watch the debate last night? Were you educated, informed or entertained?
No, I'm going to watch it tonight. I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to watch it on the player and watch it.
Two and a half hours. It's a binge.
Yeah, well,
now, it is a binge watch.
It is it?
No, 10-parter. Ten litres. Okay, Sarah. I hope somebody... Yes. Do you think somebody... I would not give out your details. But do you think somebody might recognise your accent and they might say,
I don't know. I live in hope. I'll let you know if one calls.
Have an emergency. If you get an emergency canvas, will you let us know, Sarah?
I will, of course.
That's Sarah. Thanks indeed. Where is Dennis? Dennis.
Hello, Joe.
Junk mail. Canvassers.
Hi, Joe. I don't know that I put up with the junk mail and all that. But lately, I've just been thinking that I've noticed me travels the last few days. Posters knocked down, posters cut, posters defaced.
Well, there's a lot coming with the
I'm
weather as well.
Maybe it's time. I can, true. But I think maybe it's time to get away from all that. And instead of putting leaflets in the door and putting up posters, like the area I'm living in now, there's 15 plus candidates in it.
Mm-hmm.
And most people won't know the half of them. And maybe it's time there was a little booklet brought out. where each person had a page and they could give a profile of themselves. And
yeah, yeah. They'd submit
what they aim to do or whatever.
They would be told you can put in 1,500 words plus a photograph plus a little banner. And then you get people
like
saying,
that.
"Then you, and we'll do what Katie did yesterday for the 10. We'll have a lottery to see what page you get. So there can be no, in other words, if there's 25 candidates, somebody says, Mickey Murphy, he gets page 24. Pauline Doyle, she gets page 18. Lee Maguire, he gets page 17. So there can be no complaints. Do you follow me?
True, yeah. Yeah, but get away from all these posters.
Yeah,
and
that's a good idea.
Like they've been put up at junctions on polls.
Now, the only thing is, Dennis, the list of candidates only closed in the last 72 hours, whereas a lot of the booklets have been out for weeks because they knew there was an election coming. You know what I mean? You might not necessarily get rid of the one-to-one, leaflet or whatever because of, as I say, I think, was it Monday was the last day for registering. And so what the department are doing now, the Department of Darragh O'Brien's Department of Local Government, what they're doing now is feverishly getting ballot papers with photographs printed non-stop. It's 24/7. And some of the ballot papers are longer than very small toilet rolls, apparently. There's so many candidates.
That's the truth.
Don't take that analogy any further. Now, Dennis,
Like Simon said a while back that the government's going to run its full term. The government hasn't.
I know.
To be honest about the man, he knew.
But he knew he changed his mind. You know what I mean? Yeah, that's what he said. Michal changed his mind. Simon has the ball, so Simon changed his mind, and that's not illegal in our wonderful democracy. Seriously. Now, Dennis, did you talking of M&S, Michal and Simon and Mary Lou, did you and the other seven? I'll have to name them all now. Did you and go to the RT website? Did you watch the debate last night?
I have a taste, but I'm wondering if there's highlights on anywhere I can watch.
Okay, are you ready for are you going to binge watch it?
2 hours plus is a bit much. you probably want a defibrillator on standby.
Okay, well done, Dennis. And Dennis, by the way, have you been canvassed with a knock, knock, knock on the door or the window?
Well, we had two calls, but they were early in the day.
Okay, and you were happy to meet them and greet them?
Well, the wife met one, I met the other, so...
Okay.
Each of them was lucky.
Yeah, that's great. It's very peculiar. I think it is very peculiar to Ireland, but it's great. Okay, Dennis, thanks indeed. Joe at rt.ie 51551 is the text.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
And Joe at rt.ie. We're talking about canvassers and canvassing and various other issues to do with the minutiae of the election, so to speak. Patricia, what was your scenario? We are out of the country, okay?
We are out of the country at the moment. We took all precautions with our home to make it safe. We cancelled our mail with MailMinder.
Okay.
And we also, the post box, we blocked it off because we knew that there'd be a lot of leaflets coming and we didn't want them being left sticking out of it, perhaps.
Okay.
Now, the thing is, canvassers are called, knocked our door. We have a camera so we could see this from where we are.
Okay.
Canvassers are called, no one answered, couldn't put the leaflet in the post box. And what did he do next? He jabbed it into the side of the door and left it flying like a flag. We live on the main road, so this was sitting there.
He was determined, wasn't he?
He was very determined, yes. Yeah, yeah.
It's got to be a close
election. And we did everything we could, Joe, to, you know, not let people know we're out of the country.
Okay, and you got onto MailMind. Tell me about Mail. What does MailMinder do?
MailMinder with On Post. You can actually fill in a form and pay them and they will keep your mail till the date you tell them to start delivering it again.
Okay.
Great service, Joe.
I was going to say, excellent service. And you pay for that?
Oh, yes.
Okay,
yes.
Okay. And along your way for, Margaret?
Patricia.
Oh, sorry, Patricia. 3 weeks. Oh, 3 weeks. Not that long. Would you have that much mail, Patricia?
Well, because we're on the main road, Joe, the front of the house is a glass porch, that even if they put it in another mailbox, it's there visible for anyone who would come up to the door.
And have you ever, not that it makes any difference, that was the first time, have you ever been broken into before?
Thank God, no.
Okay.
I'm just one of those people that do what I should do to keep things safe.
Yeah, well done, well done. And is the weather good where you are?
Ah, Joe, it's gorgeous.
Well, when you stop it now.
Degrees.
Now, Patricia, that's out of order. You're rubbing that in.
I know.
You are rubbing it in. We're freezing.
Yes.
And it's sheeting rain and we're all going to be frozen tonight.
I'm so sorry for you.
Yeah, you take that sarcasm out of your voice. There's good karma coming and bad karma coming. And where are you sitting on a balcony now or sitting at a pool?
I'm just came in off the balcony.
Because it's too warm.
It's not.
And it's you're looking at cerulean blue skies and
the sea shimmering in front of me.
Oh, the ghosts from sea to golden sea. Oh, it's magic. And what time is it over there, Patricia?
It's same as it is at home.
Okay.
Same as at home.
And is a near, I'm not presuming now, is a near wine o'clock? Rose o'clock.
Maybe sundown or later on.
Okay. Well, pace yourself and enjoy it. And as you're sitting watching the sun go down out on your balcony, probably about 21, 22 degrees, will you think of all of us shivering under our duvets with our hot water bottles and our greasy nightcaps?
I don't think so. No.
Okay, Patricia, come home soon. Will you be home for the election?
No, you see, I won't be. No, unfortunately, we had the holiday booked before.
Yes, a lot of people did. They didn't know.
Yes.
Didn't know. Okay, yes, Patricia, good to meet Margaret. Where's Margaret Donoghue? Margaret.
Oh, Joe, I am here.
Good. And where
is... Can you
hear me? Where is there?
There is Galway.
Galway, okay.
Galway City.
And what's the weather like in Galway now, Margaret?
It's very nice today. It's crisp and clear.
Yes.
Not like last night where it was lashing rain.
Lashing the rain. Do you ever see anything like it? Teeming.
Sheeting.
Deluge. Apocalypse. It was unbelievable. Now, Margaret, you are a canvasser.
I am a canvasser. I've been canvassing Joe for the last maybe 15 years.
Brilliant.
As was my mother before me in Dublin.
Okay.
And we were amazed at how she was so engrossed with canvassing, but I can see it myself. I love it.
Tell us why.
I actually feel that canvassing really gives you a great snapshot on what is going on in people's lives.
Okay.
The joys, the difficulties.
Yeah.
And like what concerns them at present and what are their concerns for the future. The future direction of the country.
Yeah.
And I think it's just great to sort of experience that and then to be able to feed that back to the candidate for whom you are canvassing.
Well done. And do you generally get a good reception? People are civil, even though they might not be going to vote for you.
Especially this year, I agree with that earlier speaker who phoned in. People are actually very, very nice. This year it has been a very pleasant canvas. I'm not too sure if it's that the country has been very stable. People felt they were very well taken care of during the pandemic, post-Brexit, etc. And I think they feel that there is concern for them from the government. Now, there are also people experiencing difficulties and they're able to verbalise that and express it. So it isn't all glorious.
Yeah, of course. And what is, insofar as you can say this, and don't come into your constituency, what is the big issue that's coming up, if there is, on the doorsteps?
But the major one in Galway is traffic.
Oh, I don't know. I think it was drive time the other day. Oh, mother of God.
Yes.
Oh, mother of God.
No matter... no matter what you listen to on the radio about Galway, it is always traffic.
Yeah.
So, you think
overall the reception? Overall, the reception for canvassers on the door in this election is better than before, and better than you had thought.
Is it better than I had thought? Okay. By and large, Joe, I find people are very polite when you call to their doors. There will be those who will tell you they're not voting for you. There are some who will tell you in no uncertain fashion that they won't be voting for you. But that's to be expected. And you're prepared for that. But by and large, people have been really nice.
That's good.
Very, 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 very positive.
Okay. Now, did you watch the 10-parter last night, the 10-leader debate?
I did.
And were you educated, informed, or entertained, or all three?
I really was engrossed because I am involved in politics. I do like it.
Great.
I don't think we heard anything very, very different than what we actually expected to hear. But it was an opportunity for all 10 people to stand there and pitch their tent.
Okay.
And did you stick
with it for the 2.5 hours?
I did, yeah.
And then
afterwards I read all the reviews on all the newspapers.
Yeah, I did.
And interesting, I've been canvassing this morning and several people actually mentioned the debate last night.
That's great. And there's another there's brilliant stuff on radio, you know that. Every single programme from morning, and by the way, other stations as well, I hasten to add. But from Morning Ireland to Clare to the 1 o'clock, we always try and do a different take on the elections, as you know, to Drive Time, to Late Debate, then the weekend. You have Brendan on Saturday, you have Colm at 1 o'clock, you have Justin at 1 o'clock on the Sunday. Then you have loads of podcasts, Behind the Ballot podcast with Fran, Katie and David McCullough. You have Barry Lenehan's 43 constituencies. Have you listened to those podcasts?
I've heard some of them.
Some of them. They're brilliant. Yeah. They're brilliant. Yeah. And Claire presents some of them and there's different. But Barry is the spine. Barry Lenehan would be the star to emerge from this election. Though he should have, but he does stand in every now and again. But he's brilliant. He's brilliant. He's like the memory man, ask him anything about elections. But there's a great crew of people working non-stop behind the scenes and in front of the microphone. So we're well served in that sense. And News Talk are brilliant and the local stations are brilliant as well. OK, Margaret, thanks indeed and well done for canvassing.
Thank you very much. Joe.
And
well,
Margaret, by the
you.
Way, just when the election is over.
Yes.
Do you have a little party or shindig? You know, I don't mean in the count centre. I mean, these all get together a week later and say, I'll never again, or I loved it, or guess who I met on the door.
There will always be a gathering following the election. The candidates that you have supported or the candidates you're supporting will always tend to have a get together, whether they were successful or not successful. They will always treat their canvassers. And then after the canvass, some evenings the group might go for a drink and a little post-canvass chat just to exchange information.
Great.
So there's great connection with them.
Yeah, that's brilliant. Brilliant. Okay, safe canvassing. Margaret, will the weather put you off in the next few nights? Cold, icy? No.
Joe, I love the rain.
Okay.
Once I'm dressed for the rain, I don't care.
I love
there's
the, no yeah, okay.
thing is bad weather. It's just bad clothes.
Here, here. Well done. Safe travelling, Margaret.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe Duffy.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe at rt.ie 5155 of Robert Harvey. Good afternoon. I know you're on a great line. You're on WhatsApp, I hope, and rightly so, because you want to talk about we were inundated on Friday when the whistling. The dying art of whistling came up. You've written a book.
Hi, Joe. Thanks very much for inviting me on. Yeah, I have. I wrote a book about whistling and a book with two CDs. It's called Fadil, The Whistling Tradition in Ireland.
And tell us about it. Is there? But first of all, is it a dying art?
I suppose, yeah, that was what inspired the project. I was taking part in competitions. Like, I think you had Clodagh on the show.
Yeah,
there
brilliant, Clodagh, yeah.
Yeah, she was absolutely fantastic. So, yeah,
she's the All-Ireland under-16 champion.
That's right, yeah, yeah, she won the All-Ireland this year. So the competitions have been running at the FLA for the last 70 years, sorry, since the 1950s. And I was kind of taking part in the competitions when I was Clodagh's age, and then I was back adjudicating the competitions. And we started to notice that there was a bit of a decline in the tradition. So Coltis and myself, we got together and we started working on a book to try and promote whistling and a CD as well. We gathered up all of the All-Ireland champion whistlers, all of the people who have won the competition since the 1950s, and recorded a CD. And we just launched it at the National Opera House as part of FLA Ceolna Héireann a couple of weeks ago.
And is one point that was made on Friday was the instant communication now, the smartphone, the ubiquitous smartphone. One of the side effects is that it does have an effect on music and, sorry, performing and singing and whistling. Is that true?
Oh, it does, absolutely, yeah. I suppose whistling, going back, it was used to transmit tunes. People would pass along tunes to one another by whistling, or they'd, I suppose, entertain themselves as they worked or they walked the roads by whistling. And now that we have smartphones and we have communication, people are able to do that without the need for whistling. So whistling kind of as an everyday act has kind of started to decline very much.
Well, we had that caller on Friday saying he whistles and he was standing in a bank queue whistling away to himself and everyone reached for their mobile phone. They thought it was their phone ringing. This is, don't tell us yet because I know you know, we were asking this on Friday. This is a recording from 1915, nearly 110 years ago. And it is somebody whistling.
Yes.
Brilliant. Now, you can tell us a little bit about that.
Absolutely,
Robert,
yeah.
Please do.
There was a man called Frank Brew. He was actually, would you believe, a neighbour of, you might know Sharon Shannon, the great accordion player.
Yeah, yes.
So he was a neighbour of Sharon Shannon's grandparents. Mm-hmm. And when I was researching the book, I came across that recording. It was made in 1915 over in England. He had emigrated out to London.
Wow.
And to find work. And he took part in a whistling competition out there, which he won in 1907. And then he made that recording. And it kind of existed in the British Library for years until we digitized it and put it together. There's part of this program. But Gary, Sharon's brother, helped me to track down a lot of information about him. He lived down there in Rouen in County Clare, just outside Ennis.
Frank Brew, B-R-E-W-E.
B-R-E-W-E, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, unusual, yeah. And whistling as a language, shepherds, penal times.
Yeah, absolutely. So you had someone talking about whistling languages out in, I think, was it Spain or somewhere like that last week?
Yeah.
As well, we used to have that here in Ireland as well. Would you believe? Shepherds used to communicate across the hills to one another by whistling, and then there were lots of tunes collected from shepherds. In that way, Francis O'Neill collected the tune called "Off to California," actually, from a shepherd in the Sierra Nevada range, from an Irishman. Who whistled in that way. But back during the penal laws, people used to whistle when they'd meet, obviously, at Mass Rocks to celebrate Mass. But people used to stand sentry, and they had a series of notes that they would whistle as a warning if someone was coming past. There's a place actually in Meath called the Whistling Hill, and that got its name because someone would sit up on top of the hill and keep an eye out in case anyone came past that might report them or might get in trouble for celebrating Mass there.
And then, of course, sheep farmers with collie dogs, the whistles are very distinctive, aren't they?
Oh, they are, absolutely. Incredibly. Yeah, they use them to send. Yeah, and I mean, whistling was used to communicate with animals, dogs and horses, and the ploughmen used to whistle to soothe horses and to keep them under control while they were working. And Edward Bunting and Petrie and people like that, all the old collectors, they collected lovely melodies from those people that they used to communicate with the horses back in before the famine.
And you say, I know there's a book and it's called Fidel. Is that correct pronunciation? And
Fidel or Fidel.
Fidel, Fidel. Okay, okay.
Different ways around the country.
And
yeah.
Is the project ongoing? I know it's a project as well.
Yeah, so we I suppose I've been working on it now for 5 years, kind of try and promote whistling as an art, and we brought out the book a couple of months ago, but I'm still collecting stories and collecting recordings. Mm. And if anyone has any stories, I'd love to hear them, actually. But yeah, we're still doing lots of work and lots of collecting work there to be done.
I just wonder, do mobile phones, in terms of the frequency, if I'm thinking, would we get people to record a tune or whatever and WhatsApp it in to us, but is the phone a friend of the whistler?
Oh yeah, you can whistle over the phone, and actually people used to, years ago, if they were trying to remember a tune, they used to ring one another and let it go to voicemail and then whistle the tune down the phone, and then they'd have the recording of it that they could learn a tune from and things like that as well. So it is absolutely a friend to the whistler.
And is there a department of whistling, so to speak?
There's no department of whistling, unfortunately. Okay. No, alas. It would be great if there was. But no.
And what's the closest, Robert? In our various...
The closest?
In Galway or Limerick or... Is whistling studied on any course, any third level course in Ireland as a module?
It's not taught as a module, but I do have a class that I teach, all right. I lecture at Trinity and at DCU, so I do teach a little bit about whistling as part of my Irish music modules there.
And is there an interest?
Absolutely, yeah. And there's great interest. And especially over the last couple of months since the project started and has gotten a little bit of traction, there's been a lot of young people taking it up and getting into the tradition again, which is great.
Did you see, I want to get proper recognition. As you've probably heard on Friday, Robert, I want to get proper recognition for Clodagh Crowley. She won't even tell her classmates that she's the All-Ireland Whistling Champion.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's four All Ireland champions every year, under 12, under 15, under 18, and senior. So there's four different categories within the All Ireland. Mm. And then there's whistling competitions around the country in each of the county.
And we heard that superstition on Friday, which comes to my next question about when a lady whistles, our lady weeps. Is a whistling growing among women?
It is, and it has been. I mean, that superstition has kind of held a lot of ground and had a huge impact on the whistling tradition in Ireland. And there's different variants of it across the country. The whistling woman and her crowing hen, neither luck nor grace in the house they're in, is another very common saying. But I am back actually in the 1890s. There was a woman who came to Ireland from America. Alice Shaw was her name, and she whistled here, and lots of women began whistling at that time, and it caused great controversy. It sparked a lot of debate at the time, but I suppose in more recent years, it's only really since the 80s that girls have started taking part in the competitions, and I think 1998 was the first time that the competition was won by, that the All-Ireland was won by a woman. Julianne Barry was her name, down in Cork.
Now, Robert, can anyone whistle?
Absolutely. Everyone can whistle. Everyone has the opportunity to whistle. Absolutely. It is possible, all right.
Okay. Yeah. Frank Randall in Cork. Frank, you have a story about, where were you, Barbados? Lucky you.
I was in Barbados, Joe, about 28 years ago. We went down on holidays, you know. We went down on an air flat jet. It was a good deal.
Okay.
One, so we
from
got
Shannon,
out
yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's right, from Shannon, yeah. And we went out there, and the frogs outside, like the frogs in there in Croke, but outside there, the whistling frogs, they whistle.
Oh, do they?
Yeah, honestly, you know, a lot of people think I'm crazy when I tell it, but if you look it up, you know it. But
and is it a harmonious whistle, Frank?
No, it's just going to... I said the way, you know.
That's a frog.
Frogs, yeah.
Not a bird. That's a frog.
Frogs, yeah, yeah.
Are you
sure
it's not a bird with a frog in his throat?
No, no, it's a frog. They're frogs. Okay. I caught one of them and I put him into the wash basin. We sent my wife around for a couple of drinks or whatever. And we had two small kids at the time.
Yes.
And we got the frog from into the wash basin.
Yeah.
And my wife and I were inside in bed and next thing the frog was whistling. And she said, "Frank, there's someone whistling." I said, "Hey, you have something wrong with you?" I said,
"That's Frank. That's the Frank the frog." And you let it. No animals were hurt in the making of that holiday.
We left to go. Yeah. Sure.
Okay, Frank.
We had a bit of fun running there. Okay. There's flying fish out there as well. You know, but they don't fly. The gliding fish. You know, and all this thing.
Okay.
Great time of my life.
Thanks, Frank. Thanks, Frank. Joe at rt.ie.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe Duffy.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
We'll be going back to canvassing tomorrow, but just to finish today on whistling, because we're getting great response again. Jack, we're still talking to Robert Harvey. Jack, Donegal, where is it bad luck to whistle?
I was working for a while outside Moscow.
Yeah.
And it's generally accepted to be very bad luck if you whistle over in Russia.
Wow.
The whole population apparently will give you a dastardly look if you come whistling through the streets or whatever.
Any idea why?
No idea. But I used to whistle going down the stairwell instead of taking the lift. I mean, kind of keeping close to the wall to hide. And I could hear them all, "Did you have that in the stairwell today?" or whatever they were saying. If they caught you, they give you a good telling off. You know, I don't know why.
And was it bad luck indoors or outdoors or both?
Anywhere.
And like
whistling, full stop.
But what would happen? Okay, what would happen if you did whistle?
They'd probably tell you to stop, or they'd give you a dirty look, or whatever, like, or turn away from you, or something like that. You know, and some of the how would you put it? The more forward ones would probably come up and tell you to stop.
Wow. Could you speak Russian if you could hear them giving out about you?
Huh?
Could you speak?
I can't remember the words now, but beer and da was about it.
Beer and da, yeah. Well, you got the basics. You got the essentials.
Absolutely.
Stay there, Jack. Last, Robert. Before we go, Robert, Robert's gone, sir. So I'm going to ask him, Russian considered bad luck anywhere? He's whistling. And it's nothing to do about whistleblowing or whistle being... Robert was talking about earlier on that whistling was a secretive form of communication during the penal times. Do you follow me? I just wonder, in the history of Russia, was whistling ever a secret form of communication? Mm. That's why it's banned. There's so many things banned there anyway.
It could have been, because in some parts of Russia you have wide expanses of unpopulated areas, so a whistle can travel a long way. So maybe
that's
it was.
True. And did it turn you off whistling? Robert is back. Robert, was whistling, is it considered bad luck in some countries? Jack was in Russia and it's frowned upon.
Big time.
You got any there, Robert? Come back to me, Robert. Whistle if you can hear me, Robert. You there, Robert? No, it's not Robert. Okay, no, it's coming up to 3 o'clock anyway. Okay, so you think it's bad luck, but you whistle here, do you, Jack? Are you a good whistler?
Oh, fantastic! Okay. No, not really. When my brain is in neutral, I'll whistle something. You know.
Some people when they're idling or doing nothing, they make sounds which they're unaware of.
Yeah.
You know, some people when they're at the sink or whatever, they hum away. And you might say to them, what are you singing? I say, I'm not singing anything. What are you humming? I'm not humming anything. It's just a sound they make involuntarily.
Sometimes when I'm out for a walk, I go into a forest or whatever, and I can hear the birds and I try to imitate them. And I think you get an answer, but I'm not sure.
Okay.
They're probably just telling me what the Russians would tell me.
Yeah, I wouldn't tell too many people that, Jack. Well done, Jack Above and Donegal. Niall McManigal's on sound. Richie Burns, a researcher, producer on McLaughlin. Ray Darcy is next.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry. Refresh your home with the latest colours and designs in curtains and bedding, in store or at harrycurry.com.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815 or send your WhatsApp voice notes to 087 484 8888.